This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
It's Ciso.
Hello, welcome back to Seagull Social, Season 4, Episode 40. We're coming to the end of the season, mate. We're at Episode 40 already, Season 4. This is crazy.
Scary.
I'm joined by Scary. Ryan. No Maz, no Jack, no Adam. No one wants to talk about Arsenal, Ryan. Why do you reckon that is?
Plastics, mate. A lot of them. embarrassing. Definitely all gone by 80 minutes or whatever it is when the East Stand. Do you know what? It's a busy day, isn't it? It's a Monday morning. Well, Monday afternoon now, just about. But nonetheless, we're here to talk about Brighton. And to be honest, mate, look, we're in a bit of a rough spot at the minute, as we all know. But we've seen a lot worse. even on this podcast, we've seen much worse. So I'm still all right. Still okay.
We have. Yeah, you're right. We have been through a lot worse. And let me quickly add, Maz is sorting out a visa so he can go film with someone pretty cool. Adam didn't get back to us. And Jack is sorting out the landslide that happened in Hassocks, which affected my journey back down to Brighton. Don't know if any, for people
awful
that don't know.
Awful reasons then.
Yeah, awful. Yeah, no excuse. There was a landslide in England. How's that possible? On the Hassocks track, which meant that the trains were absolutely screwed going and coming back, which is great. But yeah, and then obviously witnessed a brilliant game. Arsenal battering us 3-0. A penalty that was a bit dodgy, especially that was right in front of us in the north. And I was like, how's that a pen? That's a joke. And obviously loads of people on Twitter that had seen the replays were saying, it is, loads of people saying it isn't because he got the ball first. And then when you see the replay of him getting the ball first, then the whole question is, did he get enough of the ball? I don't know. Do you think he got enough of the ball? What do you reckon of it?
Do you know what? In the moment, I said, that's a pen. So I was probably the opposite way around. I thought, that's a pen. And then the lad behind me, shout out Ryan, might say his name, he showed me a video of it on Twitter. And he said, They're saying they got the ball. And there's another guy down the front. Sorry, I actually don't know your name. Not going to lie. And he showed it. And I, as soon as I saw it, we were all saying, it looks like he touches the ball there. So I'm surprised they did give it. But I guess when I watched it back after the game, it's a difficult one. De Zerbi said that it's not. It is a penalty, didn't he? I'm still in the one of, you know, if we were back in the championship days, I don't think that would have been given if VAR existed in the championship. And I do think he gets the ball first. So by the letter of the old law, it's not a penalty. But by the letter of the new Premier League stuff, unfortunately, they give them, don't they?
Yeah, Ryan, couldn't agree more, mate. sorry, my audio has completely changed because I forgot to actually use my podcast mic.
Painful.
And then as soon as I pressed stop recording, Ryan's light went. And so we spent 5 minutes trying to do that. But we are back to talk about the game, unfortunately. Maybe the gods don't want us to talk about the game because I know we probably don't.
Really sad day.
But yeah, no, I guess, yeah, in the championship. Yeah, the football's gone, mate. It's different now. Those sorts of challenges, you can't get away with that anymore.
Game's gone.
But I guess if that happened to us and it was a really vital moment in our season, I'd probably be like, yeah, it should be a penalty. Give us the penalty. So I can see it both sides, but it's just unfortunate. Like, those goes back to making mistakes and just constant mistakes leading to losses and leading to goals. Beltman against Liverpool and now Lamptey against Arsenal. That's the frustrating part about it all.
Agree. And I do agree that the football's just not right, is it? Like, we might as well talk about this now because we're on the subject of it. But the Ben White dive, right? And not just the Ben White one, but this applies to the whole of the Premier League, because I want to get this out of the way. Whether it's our players, whether it's Arsenal players, whether it's ex-players, whether it's players I like, whether I don't like them, whoever. But the time wasting, the cheating, the diving, how many times have we gone over this now? But it's really, really, really bad, isn't it? And I mean, the amount of time that we did lose in that game, I think Arsenal did waste a lot of time, and that was their tactic, and they wanted to frustrate us, and it worked. And it's really annoying that it still works. But what did you make of the Ben White dive? Because it was probably one of the worst dives I've ever seen at the Amex. It was ridiculously embarrassing.
I think one of the most frustrating parts is that he tried to provoke Estupiñán by like bumping into him, and then he's gone down because he's been tapped in the throat. I mean, it's actually embarrassing. It's so embarrassing. There's a lot of stuff you can say about Ben White's appearance. I'm not going to go into it because I'm not going to ruin him for that, because his actions on the football pitch are bad enough. But yeah, it's just so bad. Like to walk in the way of Estupiñán, who was minding his own business, going back to his position, to try and shoulder barge him and then go down like that. Whilst you're winning as well, by the way. I get it if you're annoyed and you're losing maybe, but there's literally no need for it. And especially like if he had any little bit of respect for the club, which clearly he doesn't, don't do it against a club that gave you an opportunity in the Premier League and that you'd spent years with in the youth academy as well. And obviously, you know, we signed him from Southampton, or he was released from Southampton or something. But yeah, just show a little bit of respect. But clearly he has none of that. And clearly he's just a cheat as well. I'm glad he's not in the England squad, because I don't want anyone like that in the England squad.
No, that's fair. And then to be fair, I didn't even mind Ben White before. I actually was, he was one of the players, wasn't he, that left, that didn't leave in a bad way. And then
yeah,
the performance that he put in against us. Don't get me wrong, he's a great player. And I like him as a player. But when I was watching him, I was just thinking, you know what you're doing. And you're trying to wind us up. I get you want to be the pantomime villain and stuff. But as you say, it's like a lack of respect, isn't it, in the way that he's done it. And I'm actually quite glad that it's gone as viral as it has done, because, you know, there's a lot of times, especially with these bigger players now, where they can get away with this sort of stuff. I mean, you see it like Bruno Fernandes, for example, that gets away with it and, you know, never will ever get anything said. Anthony's another good example of where he lashed out at the Lino the other day. He did it again yesterday, and doesn't get the red cards that so many do. And so, yeah, I just think it's there's something in the league. It's the arrogance, isn't it, I suppose? And it's just killing the game. It really is killing the game. And it makes me, and it, especially like probably the people that are in an older generation to us, but I think they're the ones probably that would lose patience with football, watching it like it is at the moment. Because if you look back on the old sort of style of football, even 5, 6, 7 years ago, the entertainment value was so much higher when there wasn't, you know, head injury faking, when there wasn't someone going down holding this and, you know, killing 20 minutes of the game. I just think it's the worst thing that's ever crept into the game. It's the amount of time that we lose. And I really, really, really can't stand it. Genuinely can't stand it.
Yeah, that's definitely up there. But yeah, I mean, and then Ben White was one player that we played against that used to play for us. But yeah, I do want to also say I didn't mind Ben White until that. That's really... really put him in a negative light for me. And then obviously the other guy, Arsenal fans are going to love this, us moaning about their players, but Trossard, I mean, they were confused as to why we were booing him.
Here we go.
Which is fair enough. I mean, they don't give a shit about Brighton. Why should they know about why Trossard's left us? But they don't know that there was like a falling out. He left training early, decided to leave the country. He was like on the Eurotunnel. There was that story of that, or images of him at the Eurotunnel, or I think driving there anyway. And yeah, just left on really, really bad terms. He was a great servant for us, for sure. But to end like that is just so unnecessary. And so it's right for not all the ground, but portions of the ground to boo. I can't remember if I did or not. I don't think I did. No, I don't think I did boo.
I actually didn't either, no. To be fair. Normally I'm the one to boo. I didn't boo him. And I saw, like, you know, people were saying, oh, everyone heard the boos. So I was thinking, yeah, well done on your Sky Sports subscription season ticket. Yeah, well done. You managed to hear it on the TV. But I'm thinking, like, you know what I mean? Oh, mate, honestly, that just does your head in, doesn't it? Oh, yeah, I heard it on the telly. Yeah, well done. Well, did you? But to be honest, in the ground, I didn't think it was that much. I thought, yeah, okay, when he got the ball, I think when Ben White got the ball after he went down with that dive, he got booed quite a bit. But I didn't think he'd got anything before then, really. He got a little bit from the north stand, maybe, when he went over to get the ball, or he went to the byline. Again, yeah, when nothing he, when really, he was warming up, really hear that much.
When he was warming up,
unless Sky have turned it up. Yeah, yeah, maybe.
That was the only bit I remember.
But I didn't think it was that much, personally. I mean, yeah. Did you get much around where you were? Because West Upper was pretty quiet, I'd say, with regards to booing.
Yeah, there were a few people in the north booing. I guess maybe they've had a drink and a bit of a laugh, but you never know if it's a laugh or if they actually mean it. But then my mate Alfie turned to me. I was like, why are people booing him? And I had to remind him about what actually happened. I'm pretty sure it happened anyway. I know he asked me. But yeah, it was a bit confusing. I didn't expect it to be that much, but I guess football fans don't forget those sorts of things. And it wasn't really in the news much, was it? Or I might be wrong about how he left.
De Zerbi definitely said it in a press conference. I remember for a fact he spoke about it a lot. And it was a point where people kept talking about it. So I'm surprised that people have forgotten it. But then again, it's Brighton, so no one cares about us after they've stopped talking about us, I suppose. But I don't know, Trossard definitely left in a bad way. Definitely left in a bad way. Him and Caicedo were probably the two worst in terms of how it went down, and, you know, Cucurella as well. Almost just demanding to get out, and they're bigger than the club. And, you know, Caicedo putting statements on halfway through the season. Trossard refused to play, refused to train, got in an argument with Lallana, so to speak, apparently, and Lewis Dunk and Roberto De Zerbi as well for not giving enough in training. At least that was the rumour at the time. I'd imagine it's probably true. And left without saying goodbye, without asking to leave. He just left training. And again, it's just those little things. You're thinking, you know, who do you think you are, sort of thing. You're not bigger than the club. Okay, well done. You've done very well at Arsenal. Well, I say that. You've done okay at Arsenal. But you're just a small piece of Arsenal. You're never going to be the names that they've had in the past. You're not going to be Alexis Sanchez. You're not going to be Mesut Ozil. You're not going to go down as one of their favourite names of Thierry Henry, Dennis Bergkamp. The list goes on for big names. Trossard will just be a little person that was there at one point in time and then everyone forgot about him. And unfortunately, Leo, that's all you'll be. So enjoy the moment, but that's it. And that's all you will be in history. Mm. You'll just enjoy the moment for now.
You know,
and then
he's going to be
back to irrelevancy. You go.
He's going
to
be an Everton player in a few years once they get rid of him.
Yeah, that's so true. Yeah, he'll be on loan at Everton. And so he'll go there on a free. Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, on a free, or maybe to Liga or something like that, or even Saudi. I mean, the world's his oyster. Depends on who wants to buy him. But I mean, that's a bit rude. I know he has been good for them when he's come on. He's got scored some really important goals for them, obviously.
Yeah,
but yeah, he will be at Everton in a few years. Remember that.
I'm only missing.
It goes back to your tweet, though. That absolutely banged, by the way. 2 million views, 14,000 likes as of now, which is insane for a Brighton post. Because what is a very simple post saying Ben White and Trossard are dead to you. Why can't everyone be like Alexis McAllister? So it was strange how loads of opposing fans liked it. But it's true. Why can't everyone be like Alexis McAllister?
I was quite surprised that it went so viral, really. I mean, I didn't think it was a tweet. I was quite surprised to see it go so big. And I thought, okay, well, I'm not going to read any of these replies because they're just going to be filled with absolute junk. But when I look at it, I'm thinking everyone, all the Arsenal fans are disagreeing with me, which they probably would. But I don't know. I didn't think that it was that surprise. I didn't think it was a huge breaking piece of news that Brighton fans booed Trossard because he left in a bad way, and Brighton fans booed Ben White because he dived against us. I don't think that was that, like, you know, crazy. And Alexis McAllister, everyone loved him. And he still comes back and gives us applause and, you know, talks highly of us in the media. I don't know what's... I don't understand how that could physically be such a controversial opinion, to be honest.
Yeah, that's fair. It is weird. And yeah, why can't everyone be like Alexis? But then I guess we probably won't have to deal with this next season because I can't see there being any big departures this summer, really. I mean, Matoma's not going to go when he was linked at the beginning of the season.
And Ciso isn't going to go when he was linked with, I think, City towards the end of last season after he scored the belter against them. No one's really going to go. So, to be fair, Ryan, we can only improve next season because obviously right now it seems quite dire. We have only just lost to Liverpool, got convincingly beaten by Arsenal, of course, but they are incredible. Only conceded 4 goals in this year, I was told by my housemate the other day, which is mental stat alone.
Defensively unbelievable.
You can tell that they absolutely love defending when they celebrated João Pedro's block in the 90th minute or something like that, didn't they? Like, Trossard ran up to Gabriel. Raya was like going, like, screaming, like, come on. And so was it Saliba as well. But you can tell they love defending. And when you're good at it, why wouldn't you love it? But yeah, what do you make of that? Do you reckon we will be selling anyone or can we only improve next year?
No, I think you're right. I think we will keep the majority. I don't see anyone going. Unless someone tests us for João Pedro, maybe. I think that people would probably be a bit silly to bid high for Mitoma when he's been injured for the last 2 or 3 months, probably a bit more than that, actually. So I'd be surprised to see him go when he's barely played this season. I'm not doubting Matoma's abilities, but I don't think he's probably going to be ready to just leave Brighton for a new challenge in the summer when he's not even really played for us. Yeah, I think that's about it, really. That is about it. Maybe, obviously, De Zerbi being talked about going away.
Yeah, that's true. It's probably the only...
But other than that, I don't think there's too much to really could be concerned about. Yeah, I think that's about it.
I don't even think De Zerbi will
And as for the Arsenal defending point of view, because I will give them their credit. Yeah, no, nor do I. Nor do I. I change it every single day, but today I think no as well. And I think, I just going by what he's like as a person, I feel like something's changed in the last couple of weeks, just reading him as being me. And I normally have a decent judge of character, I'd say. But I think he's definitely cheered up a little bit somewhere. Whatever that is, I don't quite know. But yeah, that's just me thinking anyways. But as for Arsenal's defending point of view, just to give that their credit, because Arsenal fans, if they are listening to this, they could be hearing some tears or whatever. But no, I'll give them their credit. They were very, very defensively sound. I've not seen someone so well organised. And literally every time we went forward, we really struggled to break them down in midfield and at the back. And they just were almost synchronised. That, you know, they were almost like some sort of robots, you know, Gabriel, Saliba. The way they turned were almost identical, and that's down to the incredible coaching that I guess Arteta's put in there.
Yeah, my friend Ollie actually turned around to me when we were not constantly attacking. Every time we had an attack, passed it around the box, never shooting. He turned around and said, "Get that on the pod because we never bloody shoot." We don't really. I know it was against Arsenal, but even games before, it seems like we've been passing it around the box a lot more, and it's like watching a bit more of Graham Potter's side rather than a De Zerbi side. It's kind of fallen into that sort of style of play, maybe because of absentees, obviously, but it's just obviously very frustrating to watch. And it was a huge, huge issue when Graham Potter was manager. Obviously, towards the end of his time at Brighton, we did start scoring more goals, but at the beginning of it, it was just the XG stuff. But have you noticed that we've just been passing the ball around the box so much more recently and never really shooting?
Yeah, I do think I agree with the shooting point of the thing. It sounds very boring, doesn't it, to just say shoot more? But I think when we get in the positions we're in and we sort of cut back across again, it's just a lack of confidence, I guess. But sometimes, as you'll see with some of the goals this weekend, I mean, look at the likes of Kobbie Mainoo, Bruno Fernandes, Kevin De Bruyne, some unbelievable goals this weekend. And that's what happens when you do just have a go. And sometimes you do just need to have a go. Something might happen, you know, even if it gets a nick and it goes for a corner or deflects in, you know, those sort of things when you're scrapping for points like we are now is very, very needed.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Oh, that's quite funny, actually. You said goes out for a corner, because then I instantly thought, we won't score from a set piece anyway. Which is quite funny, because we played against Arsenal. First man. They're Arsenal, the best team at set pieces currently. I think they must have had quite a few right at the beginning. And you could just tell they looked like... It's really weird to say, but they looked so good at set pieces, even when they didn't go in. Like, his Gabriel's one, I think, in the first minute, his header just went wide. And I was thinking, Jesus Christ. They get any more of these, they're definitely going to score from them. And then Declan Ross whipping balls in. I think Saka whipped a few in from the corners as well. But they just look so good from set pieces, which I think if I want one change in the summer, hopefully it'll be a new set piece coach. Or if Nick Stanley can learn some more set pieces, that'd be great. Because the way Arsenal do it, and I think Brentford have a really good coach because someone's nicked theirs, haven't they? I can't remember what club have. Villa's set piece coach has been... being spoken by pundits as well. I can't remember who they played a few weeks ago. He's like the big, I think he's a Swedish guy with really long hair. They've been praising some of his stuff as well. But do you reckon that's something we could, well, no, we should, but do you reckon that's something we will actually improve on in the summer?
I think possibly. I think when you look at a lot of the players you brought in recently and also the players you've been linked with, you see a lot of better ball strikers. You also see a lot of players that are... better at creating chances. I think a lot of it does come down to personnel. You know, as much as Pascal Gross does create the most amount of chances for us, that is probably our only big chance creator. We don't have regularly does what Pascal Gross can do. And that's it. And if Pascal does have a bad game like he did the other day, to be fair, that's when you really struggle to see us create anything. And we did it against Brentford. You know, Gross probably wasn't on his best game. We didn't create nothing. You go to Fulham, for example. Gross had another bad game and lost there. So there is a bit of a common denominator as to when Pascal doesn't create anything, we don't really do much either. Probably that's one thing that maybe an Ibrahim Osman could help us with. Seems quite an electric winger. Obviously, Kenan Dewsbury-Hall was very good from chance creation point of view. So I'm looking at the players we've been linked with. Julio and Enciso, obviously a player we've brought in more recently. Very good at creating opportunities out of nothing. I think that's probably where we could look for. Kari Mitoma as well, a more recent signing that can do a similar sort of thing. I think João Pedro is as well. But he's probably one that needs a little bit more help around him after a big injury.
Nick Stanley, with all due respect, on behalf of every Brighton fan, please, please help us score from set pieces, because at the moment it is not looking good, bruv. I'm going to move on to have some perspective in the season, because obviously everyone was very reactionary after the game, of course, which is pretty much classic Brighton Twitter, really, isn't it? And I'll ask you a question. Obviously, beginning of the season, another question. at the beginning of the season, obviously.
No, I mean the fact that we are reactionary fans. We got a massive delay. That's why.
Oh god, we never have reaction fans. But at the beginning of the season, obviously, we were like, right, we need to balance Europa League and the Premier League. Where would you take in the Premier League finishing with a decent run in the Europa League? If you judge getting to the last 16, being knocked out by Roma, and obviously how we won the group of death, that's a good campaign in the Europa League, I would probably say it is. And then let's say if we finish 10th, where we are currently in the table, would you have said that would be a successful season?
I think yes, with context.
Well, that's it.
Because of the amount of injuries, with the amount of naivety, with the amount of players we lost, I'd say 100%. I mean, we played the biggest game of our lives without the best players. and, you know, I thought the second game, we actually did a decent job of ourselves. First time, we looked very shell-shocked. I would say the way that we fought back looked better, and that's something to be positive about. And I think in general, just everything we've been through, I mean, you see a lot of teams almost get relegated in the Europa League season with an increased amount of games and injuries, etc. I do think there needs to be a massive inquest going into summer, not just for us, but for the whole of the Premier League, with the amount of injuries, because it's ridiculous. Something has to change in that sense, because it's not right. There's too much, and I'd rather watch players play at their best than watch half a team's play each other inconsistently and see the odd good game here and there. I'd rather watch our best players play. And I think that goes for pretty much every fan in the league would say the same thing. But yes, I'd say other than the injury front, we've been very good this year. I think
it doesn't
we'll get
feel
higher
like
than 10th.
It, does it?
That's the trouble. It depends. Because we've obviously got Pedro back now. He shouldn't have been rushed back like he was, to be fair. De Zerbi was right to admit defeat there. Julio, I thought, was actually quite bright last couple of games. Carlos Baleba's been a massive, massive, massive plus. He's really, really coming into it now. Really, really impressed with him. Him alongside Billy Gilmore, if he's back before the end of the season, obviously with Julio and Pedro, I think there's definitely a chance we can get a few points on the board. Because I do think it'll be fine margins, because we're not the only inconsistent team in that segment of teams. Wolves are just the same as us. West Ham are the same as us. Chelsea are the same as us. Newcastle. We're all inconsistent. We've all got a lot of injuries. We're all struggling. So I think, yes, we've got the hardest run-in of the bunch. But we've seen some miracles, and I don't think it would be a complete miracle for us to outperform those teams around us by the end of the season. But we'll never know until it happens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's still a bit of me that has hope of that Conference League spot. I mean, just look at Chelsea. I mean, I know they got a great result against Man United, but albeit very last minute. And then they drew it up.
They weren't very good.
They drew
either.
Sheffield United. So funny. Last minute, Ollie McBurney, a player a lot of people hate, but in that moment, I adored him.
Celebrated, oh God.
That was so funny. I can't believe it, man. The stats as well in that game, like how is that bloke still in a job at Chelsea? I will never know. But yeah, there's still hope.
Yeah, it's crazy.
If we don't beat Burnley, Ryan, then is the season over?
Yeah, it's a fair point.
I'm saying yes, it is, because like that is
not over.
Well, I think dreams of Conference League. I know literally it's not over because we have like six or seven games left. But if we don't beat them, then our Conference League hopes are over for me.
Mentality wise, right?
Yeah, mentality and just hopes of getting any European football.
Yeah. It's not unrealistic to say that. If anything, it's probably more realistic to say that. The optimist in me says Brighton can usually do better against teams better than them and usually do worse against teams worse than them. But I do agree with you. Burnley are exceptionally poor this year. You'd expect even half our team to go there and get a win. And I think that's the position we're in as a club at the moment. We've got to expect something somewhere because we are in a really, really bad spot for form. And I think if you take the context out of the equation, you look at Brighton as a team out of form and struggling. A big result at Burnley will be massive because it will change the perspective of everyone. If we can just, win convincingly like we did at Sheffield United, and go on there and prove we're better than them, and then come back with the big boys to play, That's when we can raise our game.
Right, when you've listened to me ask that question, you said no, the season's not over if we don't beat Burnley. I'm going to tell you why you're wrong, because after Burnley, obviously got a, well, I was going to say Chelsea, but it's been postponed. Then we've got City at home, Bournemouth away, who I think Bournemouth have the most points in 2024 in the league.
Yeah, good team.
And maybe that's outside. Yeah, maybe that's outside the top four. But was it? I saw some stats.
Could be, but they are very good.
They're on fire, mate.
They are very good, to be fair. I've watched a few of their games.
And then Villa at home. I mean, that goes without saying. We all know what Brighton are like whenever we play Villa, whether that's home or away. That's just a result that never, ever, ever goes well. Everything's always against us when we play them. And then a team that are around us battling for that Conference League spot, Newcastle away. I mean, very, very tough fixture as well. They've had injuries as well.
That could be one of the biggest games. That could be one of the biggest games we've played in the Premier League, genuinely. Mm-hmm. Because we will be neck and neck. If we are in the similar sort of form, we do get a couple of points here and there. Obviously, expect Newcastle to get a few more. That game could be massive. Them and Manchester United after each other for the last two of the season are huge games. Huge, huge games. And that's the sort of game I'd put us into. because everyone at St James's Park expects Newcastle to win there. And I think that's where Brighton and then change. And that's my positive head. And I will 100% be trying to get one of them tickets because I don't know how practical it's going to be at the moment in time, but I have to be there if that's the case. For various reasons. But yeah, I need to be at that game. I need to be at that game because
I love that could be, because I always have.
That could genuinely be make or break for... Yeah, I've only done St James's Park non-football related, which is quite weird. I've never done it because it's always been too much of a trek and just never been bothered to do it.
Yeah, you have to do like a big weekend.
Or it's fallen on a day where I couldn't do. Yeah, yeah, exactly. But I think this year might be the year. If it is a case of real, as you say, it's us and Newcastle go back to the Championship, don't we? I mean, I think you'd almost see a little bit of the old fireworks that once were. I didn't used to like them at all. and it would be quite nice to relive a little bit of it again. Oh no, don't about that one.
I think it's probably since the third goal. Hard not to. Santiago Muniz, what legend. And quickly, then yeah, lastly, I know you mentioned it. Man United, obviously at home. Even that, like we're 6 points off them now, which is funny. They are abysmal, so who knows? We might even catch them. There might even be a chance that
six
game,
points off them. Think how bad we've been, mate.
I know. That could be an important game as well. Maybe if we're going for a Conference League, maybe they are as well if they've dropped down more. Maybe they're fighting for Europa League, which is quite funny to say. So yeah, that game, yeah, very tough fixtures. So yeah, going back to my original question, if you said no about a Burnley, then that is my case as to why. If we don't beat Burnley on Saturday, then our chances of Europe are in the mud. Last point, Graham Potter turned down Ajax.
Fair enough. That's quite funny. I put a poll out, actually. I'm going to get it up. Because, obviously, Potter turning down the job, which is quite weird. Sitting on all that payment money from Chelsea. What is he waiting for? And I asked... probably...
us?
Either us, or maybe... or I don't know, probably more like the England role, I'd say.
Yeah, I'd give him England. He's a perfect yes man for the FA.
Oh yeah, he is definitely. But I put on an imaginary world: Roberto De Zerbi goes this summer, Graham Potter returns. Would you accept him back? So to which surprised me somewhat in terms of the reaction. I don't know if you saw the poll, so I'm going to ask your initial thoughts, Ben, on. Would you accept him back? Would you say yes, the past is the past, or no, no chance, move on?
No has to be the majority. I reckon no would be 73%.
Not far off. What's your honest taking? Before I say the poll results, I want to see what you think, just of your thoughts of whether you'd have Potter back. And, you know, what would it take maybe for him to win you over if it did happen?
No, I wouldn't take him back. Absolutely not. I think I'd be surprised if Tony took him back as well because of how he left. I mean, I understand why. Obviously, I have stuff against him for leaving, but I completely understand why he left. Why would you not try and better yourself and take on a big role? It's obviously too early for him. But yeah, I'd be surprised if Tony takes him back after everything that's happened. Being a Brighton fan himself, surely he'll understand that a lot of people don't want to. And if he's seen your poll, then he should understand as well. I also don't want to go back to the style of play we had under him. I really enjoy watching De Zerbi's style of football where we're actually scoring goals and we have been a lot more attacking under De Zerbi. It's been far more entertaining to watch than possible.
Four goals in nine games.
Okay, yeah, maybe not now, but obviously the peaks of Potter and the peaks of De Zerbi, I would rather have De Zerbi as my manager. Yeah, so what is the poll option?
Okay, the imaginary world tweet, accept him, yes, past the past is 38% and no chance is 62%. Surprisingly, a lot more saying no than yes than I thought. I personally would hate the idea of even having him back. I wouldn't even entertain it. And if he did come back, I would agree with ONBHAFC and be wholeheartedly Potter out from day one. For him to win me back would be pretty much impossible. I think we'd have to do something spectacular. And this is the only time I'd say if Bloom ever made a decision like this, I wouldn't back the initial decision. And I would say you'd have to either get us into the Champions League, win us the FA Cup, or, I don't know, record points total, beat Palace 6-0, something like that. You'd have to do something spectacular to even make me think about liking you again, because yeah. I don't like people that disrespect and disregard when you're at the highest point and gut and forget and then come crawling the back as well. At the next best possible opportunity because everything's gone wrong.
Exactly. Yeah.
Exactly. So can't deal with that.
Although, you know what? What's that. Worrying? He still lives in the area. I was about to say where he lives in. Still lives in the area in Brighton. People see him walking about in Brighton yeah. a lot. Still, which is very brave of him, I guess, but fair enough. Like, the ball's on the lad. Fair play for walking the streets of Brighton.
Not
the
harsh thing has city, happened. Always, to be fair.
And obviously, he lives next to Paul Barber or whatever, and I don't know. There's part of me that thinks, why is he still here? And why is he still where he is? Very close to our CEO.
Nice place to live.
No, of course, but right next to our CEO. Like, is their relationship good? It must be good if they're still neighbours, you know? So I don't know.
Yeah, I know nothing about that.
That's the only part of me that thinks. I mean, it could be Waffle, but I'm pretty sure they do live on the same road, if not literally opposite each other. But anyway, let's not talk about where people live specifically. We haven't given anything away anyway, so it doesn't really matter. Anyway, yeah, Graham Potter, please don't come back. More than welcome. You're able to. You can stay in Brighton as long as you want, but just don't come back to our club because not many people want you. Anyway, yeah. We're going to have a Eurovision party at the Amex. That's cool. and the hardest geezer ran the entire length of Africa. So are fair we? Play to him. Congratulations to Rad. Did you not see all the posters in the toilets? Not of Russ Cook of the Eurovision party.
Wouldn't have even thought about it. I wouldn't have thought. I don't even look.
All right.
I'm just walking. Around, I don't know. But yeah,
fair enough. Yeah, for some reason we're hosting Eurovision party.
Maybe, but I don't know. I didn't think about it.
No. Yeah, it's strange. Yeah.
That'd be cool. I suppose.
Russ Cook. I did do a tweet as well myself, very rarely, but I said that the Amex, like, we should bring him out for a half time or before a match, I reckon, just to give him some respect. He's a Worthing fan, likes Brighton.
Yeah, definitely. He's Worthing.
Born
boy,
in Worthing. Like, that'd be incredible. The Sussex lad, why not? Get him to the stadium.
Is he a Brighton fan?
He says he likes Brighton. He does support Brighton, but in a tweet, he has said he supports Worthing when he's been asked who he supports. But he's also done that amazing tweet about just saw a Palace fan in Zimbabwe, wherever he was in. It was just a donkey on the side of the road. So he obviously understands the rivalry.
That's very impressive, Brighton. To be fair.
Yeah.
We need to get him on the pod.
That would be good. I mean, I think he's doing about 1,000 podcasts after what he's just done. So Seagull Social is probably not at the top of his list. I think Diary of a CEO is second. He's just doing the Jack Makes One today. And then probably Joe Rogan. And then Seagull Social will probably be fourth, maybe, on that list.
Yeah, maybe just behind the Stephen Butler one, I think, would be on that pecking order.
All right. Cheers, Ryan. Thanks, Arsenal, for ruining my Saturday. And thanks to the landslide in Hassex for ruining my Saturday as well before the game even started.
Can I just say, Ben?
Like, subscribe.
Before we go.
Go on.
Nice. Before we go, can I just say, I did actually think first half we played now looked pretty well. And I thought we were in the game.
Yeah.
And I think after the second goal, that's when it went wrong. That's when we looked half the team we were. But I think that there was definitely positives to take in that first half. Just, it's not like a really doom and gloom podcast. Someone watches thinking, oh, these guys are just moaning again or whatever they say before. I think actually first half, we were very good. Second half, until the second goal, we were in it. And that second goal just completely knocked the confidence. And that's what, and it just killed the game. But I think before then, I would have said we were in the game. And Julio, I thought as well, was quite bright. Those are my positives. Yeah. But Belaba was obviously my standout. Yeah. But there you go.
Well, I'm for ending it on a positive after a 3-0. Humbling. Like, subscribe. Arsenal don't win the league. We hope Liverpool do for Alexis McAllister. Trossard, remember where you came from, buddy. And Ben White, lay off the sunbeds as well, because you look ridiculous. And on that note, peace.
Time.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.